Hi, and welcome to the Creekwood Christian Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy listening to this week's sermon that focuses on the importance of sharing the resources we have in our lives with others and with God.
Your servant, my father David, as you declared to him, you promised with your mouth and have this day fulfilled with your hand. Therefore, O God of Israel, keep for your servant, my father David, that which you promised him, saying, there shall never fail you a successor before me to sit on the throne of Israel. If only your children look to their way to walk before me as you have walked before me. Therefore, O God of Israel, let your word be confirmed, which you promised to your servant, my father David. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built. Indeed, regard your servant's prayer and his plea. O Lord, my God, heeding the cry and the prayer that your servant prays to you today, my name shall be there that you may heed the prayer that your servant prays toward this place. Hear the plea of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. O hear in heaven your dwelling place, heed and forgive. And likewise, when a foreigner who is not your people Israel comes to you from a distant land because of your name, for they shall hear of your great name, your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. When a foreigner comes and prays toward this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and do according to all that the foreigner calls to you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that your name has been invoked on those who have built this house. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, as we come together this day seeking you in scripture and in spirit, may we feel your presence here that you may be revealed more fully to us. Amen. Well, it's Labor Day weekend, and you all, along with me, are the ones who did not have a lake house invitation this weekend. Or you're the ones who had a lake house invitation this weekend and you said, I just gotta go to church. Everybody knows that Labor Day Sunday is just, oh my gosh, like the Sunday, right? So, as a reward of sorts for being here on Labor Day Sunday, I wanna fill you in on something that you're gonna have to look forward to in the future of our life together as Creekwood Christian Church. And this is in part me letting you know, because you know it's a special treat to be in the know and to have some information that other folks might not have. This is also that in the event that what I'm about to describe results in a possible mutiny, you are here to help, like, steady the fort, okay? With a lead-in like that, who is like, oh my gosh, can I get to the door? It's okay, it's not that crazy. I have to tell you, in staff meeting several weeks ago, I had this idea, and sometimes I get really good ideas, and in my opinion, other times I get really great ideas, and I'm not sure which one this is. It could be a different kind of idea, though. The idea is that oftentimes when we come and worship together, there's so much joy present in that, and so much of that experience is brokered into the hour that we get to spend together worshiping, that sometimes we lose sight of how many different folks are a part of making that happen, right? And I don't mean just the staff who, like, clearly we want to be here every Sunday, but also, like, there's some incentive involved, financial. And spirit points, but the volunteers that we have here at Creekwood. And so I thought, wouldn't it be just a really stark, contrasting visual one Sunday if when we got ready for service to begin and all of that good stuff, if I came up to stand at this lectern mic and it made absolutely no noise because there's no one back at the soundboard? And then what if Gabe got up to direct the choral anthem, but there is no one sitting in the choir loft? Like, awkward. And then we get to this time of communion, and we come to this table ready to partake of the bread and the cup, except Our deacons haven't been here to prepare that meal, and our elder isn't here to pray over that meal. I know right now you're thinking, Whitney is describing pandemonium, and she better not do this. I won't, or we won't, but imagine. Imagine how much it takes for us to come together as a community of faith, for worship to happen, for the lights in this building to come on. And even moving back further than just this morning, just this moment of worship and coming together as the people of God, imagine how much work it takes for the kingdom of God to be architected and built, remodeled, torn down, that it might be built up again. So is the space that we enter into this morning in 1 Kings. A way of inviting us into understanding that God has called us to participate in the kingdom of God, not simply to dwell in it. God has requested our participation in this kingdom vision, this future of what is possible as the kingdom of God, and that request requires something of us. It requires a commitment of sorts, not only to God, but to ourselves as a church and to the whole entire world. The commitment that's required of us this day in 2018 is the same in spirit, though completely different in context, from the commitment that was required of the people of Israel at the time of the dedication of the temple. You see, when Solomon presents his prayer of dedication to the temple that had been built, a temple that for 20 years people had invested their time and energy, either in creating it or waiting for it or, I don't know, maybe complaining about the color of stone choice. People had been invested in this temple that was being erected. People had invested in this opportunity that was theirs to enter into the dwelling place of God. And so now, Solomon addresses them, the entire assembly of Israel. As he addresses them, he is praying to God in this moment as they listen on. And as Solomon is praying to God, there is somehow a sermon of sorts overheard for the people of Israel and for us that answers the question, will God indeed dwell on the earth? Will God indeed dwell on the earth? A question that the people of Israel have grappled with since the beginning of time, wondering what it means to stand in the presence of God, wondering what it means to architect space that God might occupy it, grappling with what it means to be worthy of being in the presence of God. And today Solomon offers an answer to the people of Israel. Solomon suggests to them and to us that to be in the presence of God simply requires relationship, responsibility, and risk. We must be in relationship with God, ourselves, and the greater world in order to enter into the presence of God. That one seems straightforward enough. From the moment that Solomon had begun preaching, or praying, I should say, he turned his body to face the altar and away from the people. The people who were listening to this prayer, as Solomon's posture was one of seeking out the place where God's presence was in the room, a demonstration of Solomon's own commitment and centering on God, at least in this moment. And while this dedication of the temple could have been a private moment to celebrate the relationship between God and a king of Israel, or an opportunity for only the high priest to be invited in, an invite-only type of affair, the entire assembly of Israel is gathered. Gathered together to celebrate this occasion for them as the people of God, who have been called into relationship with one another as a reminder that this relationship with God requires that they be in covenant with their brothers and sisters of the faith too. And while it is well and good for that relationship to be nurtured, Solomon, in his attitude of prayer, in these words of thanksgiving that he offers to God, makes sure that the people of Israel hear from him too, a requirement of relationship with those they don't even know yet, a requirement of investing of themselves in those who are foreign, in those who they would consider strangers, in those who are far off now but who could be brought close by the news of possibility and provision and promise for the people of Israel. And because these relationships are cultivated along such a strata, that they happen at different points and places, that they rely on one another, a reality of what we must know as the people of God who have been entrusted to partner with God is that we must take responsibility for God's message, for our actions, and for the world's needs. Personally speaking, one of the most annoying and amazing things about God is that God did not create us to simply sit back and experience this world that God created. Rather, God created us to be active. God extends to us an invitation to be partners in this world. Now, because reading all of 1 Kings chapter 8 could be counted as cruel and unusual punishment in some parts of the world, we don't hear the entire litany in this morning's lectionary text of the ways that God has entrusted responsibility to the Israelites, of the ways that God has brokered relationship with them that requires them to take ownership, the ways that God has brokered this relationship and invited them in to the responsibility that comes with being the people of God highlights the best and the worst possibility and potential of who we are as human beings. Solomon plans for a time when the people of Israel will do well and be lifted up in those responsibilities. He also anticipates a time when God's heart will be broken by the people of Israel. And in the midst of all of that, all that is possible when we take ownership as co-creators and co-conspirators in the kingdom of God, is a reminder that our greatest responsibility in the kingdom of God is making sure that we are looking outward from our temple steps. That for all the good that comes from leaning into relationships and responsibilities that we share, any commitment that we make to being in the presence of God requires us to be present wherever God is present. And in case you missed it, as Solomon asks his question, where in the world would God dwell? The answer is everywhere. It's not simply the temple in Jerusalem. It is no longer just the Ark of the Covenant. It's not in sanctuary buildings that are created as an opportunity and a space for people to come together. Indeed, God dwells in the highest of heavens, on the earth and beneath. Indeed, entering into God's presence in all possible places and ways will require risk. God expects us to contribute in every way possible to the kingdom of God. God expects us to strive to be present in new, unique, and exciting ways in this world. And all of that means that regardless of how well calculated a risk might be, or how we might enter in without having given it a second thought, that each and every one of us, as God's beloved creation, as people who strive to be faithful followers, we're invited to be risk takers. For some of us, the risk is simply showing up and daring to believe that God just might dwell in the place that we have entered. Some of us practice risk by practicing vulnerability. Vulnerability that allows us to be honest with the ways that we are or aren't experiencing God's love. Vulnerability that allows us to be authentic and true to who we are, to the gifts that we bring, to the resources we might share. Some of us risk in this kingdom of God by betting on the power of the gospel message and making sure that the commitments of our time, energy, and financial resources follow suit. Some of us risk by stretching to the very ends of our comfort zones, fulfilling roles that God has called us to that we never imagined we might inhabit or inherit. And as all of us have been called together in relationship with one another so that we might delight in one another's presence and also not bear the burden of responsibility, but rather experience the joy of co-ownership with God, we take a risk. We take the risk of believing that all we know, all we have, all we experience is somehow God's. That this life we are living, these relationships we are cultivating, these responsibilities we take on, and these risks that we knowingly or unknowingly dive headfirst into are signs of God's presence in the world. They are signs of God's presence within us. And when we are risking to be fully present to God, to ourselves, and to one another, we are assuring greater opportunities for God to dwell in this world. Will you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, we give thanks that you dwell within us, that you are a God who bears with us, experiences life with us, and dares still to call us into relationship with you, to entrust us with responsibilities, to embolden us to be risk takers, who follow you faithfully, even when our footsteps feel shaky. Amen.